Right now, we're going to focus on something else. We're going to focus on Jim Lynch. Jim joins us, of course, every Tuesday, Cover Your Assets. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, sports, bringing over 40 years of experience to those subjects and more. Ladies and gentlemen, let's bring him in right now. He's been waiting in the wings, tired of listening to Jim and me talk. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
Fair is fair.
Good morning. I'm coming in on the wire.
Fair is fair. We listen to you talk. Now you have to listen to us talk.
No, this conversation just makes me want to say, don't worry, be happy. Remember that Island song?
Oh, yeah, Bobby McFerrin. Bobby McFerrin. Yeah. And what I wanted Marshall to play, because this is what I was thinking of after just another dousing of air quote news that you know, just that makes you need to take a shower. I want, remember the Stevie Wonder song, Don't You Worry About a Thing?
Don't you worry about a thing.
Yeah, I wanted you to play that, just bits and pieces of that. Because Lynch, I have to say that one of the things that's got me unhinged majorly before you start your show, and this has been going on since Sunday night, because a friend called and said, you know, we grew up pretty much around the same time, and if a Martian, if someone came into consciousness now and looked at what's going on, you would think that so many things have never happened before. And it's like, they've happened. You know, there are issues. It's messy. It's sloppy. Some, let's call it evolution, hasn't been as robust as it should have been, but it's a big mistake, in his view, and I agree, to approach certain things as though they've never happened before. Wait, hit the bloody... Sorry.
I want to recognize somebody that Jim Lynch and Jill will know, who passed away this past week, Jack Whitaker. I, as a kid, always impressed with Jack Whitaker. He was a sports broadcaster, but so much more. He did his commentary, he was part of, I think, the golden age of sports reporting, back when newspapers had real sports reporters and television had real news analysts and sports analysts.
Right, and it wasn't the tainment, infotainment. But the person who really knew what the bleep they were talking about.
So I want to just honor Jack Whitaker, who passed away at 95. But you remember Haywood Hill, Bruin. You had just some of the most incredible, colorful people in the world.
And you tuned in because you got to hear them and you wanted to hear what they had to say because they were going to enhance your knowledge of it, of the situation.
Sorry.
Amen. Amen to that. He did bring a tremendous amount to the sports and help really, one among many, of helping our interest in sports grow beyond just who won, who lost. Nothing like knowing certain inside things to make you appreciate what's going on in the rink or on the field. There's something I think we can focus on doing, or maybe we have already. Jill has certainly brought it up a number of times on the show, namely our young people's addiction to technology, to a large degree, basically avoiding, if you would, the awareness and reality of their own lives and that of other people, be they adults or similar in age. Bill Maher, who I really think he's a great guy, he really shakes the bush. In his editorial at the end of his show last Friday, he was very, 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 very smart and very adamant in his viewpoint that we're really giving away some of our precious beings and time by either one being so obsessed with the phone and the internet and the Twitter, and or those who or our friends or our parents by them not speaking up and trying to get people in a good, positive direction. We're giving up a lot of what we've been given in terms of great minds and the ability to think and to study and to learn. And instead, we've become obsessed with the need to be in touch. What is so sad is that folks are really in touch with very little because they don't have friends. They don't have real contacts. And if you have teenagers or adults or anybody who you're cognizant of this process going on, it would be very helpful if you did somewhat of an intervention. I'm not an expert in that kind of field, but with those young people or any person. Now you heard Marshall say earlier that, you know, he's basically saying I have to be very selective in my news because I'm basically hurting my psyche by just constantly watching things that really are rather small benefits. So I just point that out. That is something we can work on as a society, as a civilization. As a civilization, actually, and I hope we do that. The other thing we can do something about is last week we said we should continue to take money off the table and lower our risk tolerance in terms of the stock market for a number of reasons. One, we're overdue for a recession. Two, the craziness coming out of Washington. Basically, the government is stepping on its own toes by getting us into hot water on the trade front with China, on the trade front with almost everybody that the administration comes in contact with. They take a very negative approach. You know, China is a very interesting place for me. The first time I ever visited it was 20 years ago. And it wasn't a backwater by any means, but it was not really developed the way many countries were, and certainly not developed to the way it's become. The problem with our government dealing with the Chinese regarding trade is that they don't, our government, the people who lead it, they don't understand or they don't want to take the time to realize that a country that is so big, so many people, which has started growing, it takes a lot longer than 20 years to fit in the rest of the world economy so that, shall we say, there's more balance than there is currently. Initially, when the Chinese started marching to get their economy going, yes, they did offer lower prices, which Americans took advantage of. And they were able to offer lower prices because the people work for less money. It's very simple. You could not tell somebody 15, 20 years ago in China, well, okay, we have to give you the same wage as the Americans, so everything will be copacetic. That would have been stupid. So now what we have happening is they are beginning to become a burgeoning power, and we don't particularly like that. And it's called negotiation. It's called knowing your facts. It's called being able to deal diplomatically with other countries, with other entities. The idea of saying, hey, it's my basketball, and if you don't play the way I do, I'm taking my ball and going home from the playground. That doesn't work in world economies. That doesn't work in statesmanship. And so hopefully we'll have a change, not only in the presidency, but a change in the Senate, so that we'll get people who know how to deal in the world fairly but equitably towards our country.
You know what people across the world don't realize, and it is this. When every economy grows from a small economy to a world economy, along with that growth and success comes something that's happened in this country and other countries, and it's happening in China and will get worse in China. And that is the people who are left off the money train, the people who live in rural China are left behind, while the people that are younger and move into the cities move far ahead. And so there is a very unequal workforce right now in China. And sooner or later, that will catch up to them, where they will have to start paying everybody a certain wage. Otherwise, you'll have, out of 900 million Chinese, you'll have 450 million that are making nothing.
And you'll have more than that.
And you'll have a civil war is what will happen. So sooner or later, China's success will catch up with them, like the United States did, whereas, you know, where you price yourself out of certain markets.
But there's also the whole, I mean, just even more broadly, not for now, but there's the difference between capitalism and communism.
Yeah. But the funny thing is that they both start with C, and there's a lot of similarities between capitalism and communism. There's a lot of similarities.
Well, one of the things that we're absolutely learning, I'm just going to digress from isms for a sec. One of the things we're absolutely learning is you watch the protests in certain places is how democracy is administered differently depending on the country. How is that for diplomacy?
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
Russian guys back in jail.
Was barking back there, Jim? Who was barking?
She was agreeing.
That's Sonny.
Yeah, Sonny was agreeing because one of the funniest things, funniest headlines yesterday was from a tabloid, which basically said Groundhog Day for basically Russian protagonist, activist, whatever, because he was released from prison and walked outside and was promptly rearrested. You know, sorry about your luck. Well, see? Yo, Sonny.
Your time will come, Sonny. Just relax.
No, it's there. He's like, get the guy. This is, please understand, there's a different administration application.
He's talking back.
Yep. He's on the air.
I just heard him say, Bernie Sanders.
That's right.
I think that is what he said. Yes. Now, we're going to put him in his own office. I think that's what he really wants.
We've got to get hair and makeup.
Just bear with me for 1 minute and go into your office. Go ahead. There he goes. He says, sorry, folks, I interrupted, but, you know, I have a lot to say. And the old man talks too much.
That's right.
Go ahead.
But
getting back to the way the news is viewed, Jill sent me something and it was so funny about the elections, and that is an email that was sent out by the Democratic National Committee and Joe Biden, and it basically said the following, and I'll institute my name for the person it was sent to. Marshall, Bernie Sanders just announced he's raised a staggering $47.5 million in 2019. With that much money, anything could happen in this race. So, Marshall, Joe Biden needs your help at this critical moment. Our mid-month deadline is only 24 hours away, and we're still 12,000 donations short of our goal. I keep telling people that the ones you want to look at in this Democratic race, forget the poll numbers. Look at the people that can raise $15 to $20 to $25 million a month, or a quarter, and there's only five of those people out there, and there's only two of them that do it without big corporations, and that is Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. They do it through all small donations. So when people are getting so excited about the polls going up and the polls going down and the network saying this and network saying that, you have to remember this, folks, that there's going to be five people left standing at the end here.
Yeah,
and two of them are going to be progressives, and it's going to be interesting to see how the Democratic Party handles that in the end.
Deals with that. And I would just like to say this, because obviously no one asked me to run the Democratic Party. I don't know why. But if they had, I would start leaving the following out of the myriad notes from myriad people requesting funds. It seems that in every paragraph it says, President Trump has pushed, I'm reading directly from yesterday's, President Trump has pushed a corrupt and ultra-conservative agenda, but he and the GOP are gaining momentum heading into 2020. Everything, you know, Tom Perez writes, we need more money because they're outraising us. So why do you keep saying they're outraising us? How is it possible that they're outraising you if they're such nitwits? Stop putting that there. That's what I'm trying to say.
Go ahead.
We're talking about way too much money. Don't get me started on that. But why are you sitting there going, they're making more money? How are they making more money? Where are they getting it from? Because remember, your position is there's nobody out there who's going to vote for the guy.
Well, that's one of the problems in the country. Vested interests that have an incredible amount of money are the ones that are giving this money to Trump and his PACs and however they do it. And this is why it was very important from a Democratic standpoint, maybe not a practical standpoint, that Warren and Sanders are vehement. They don't want corporate contributions. However, there's a price to pay for that. And I think the way this gets solved is very, very simple. I don't know who's going to finally manage the use of the media, advertising, television, particularly in local stations throughout the country. But, you know, you don't have to develop the picture of Trump acting like a madman, mimicking that journalist saying he was crazy. You can put that on the screen 24/7 for very little expense. You don't have to spend a lot of money getting the video of him saying, throw him out. You don't have to spend a lot of money saying, hey, if you beat him up, I'll pay for the lawyer. You don't have to need a lot of money to get on the screen some of the obscenities that he's used, some of the negativity, some of the horrid things he said about men and women and races and so forth and so on. So I think the idea is, I think it falls to the Democratic National Committee when it's time to do the advertising. It's very, very simple. Trump is running on his record. His record is public information. It is on television. You just need to be selective and get this into any and all markets. And I think you, the folks that run the Democratic National Committee, they've got to get on the stick and get off people on Fox News, and Fox is very open to it. They're a business. Get them on Sinclair Radio, which is throughout the country, and money talks. Nobody walks. Sinclair will take the money. But it's time for us to do that. I really believe that when we're not getting certain messages across, and maybe people are not giving as much as they might to the Democratic Party because they're not hearing it. And one thing is, the beat, by the way, has started picking up regarding gun control. We need to pound that issue home. I pointed out to POTUS last week that a young white supremacist was all set in Middletown, Ohio, to shoot up a Jewish community center. Now, they caught him, luckily. But we need to get out there and tell people, yes, yes, here is the problem, and we Democrats are going to solve it, and the Republicans are standing on their hands. A very interesting story. A good friend of ours went to a bar mitzvah in California, and the young man, I forget the age, but he was 11. I don't know if that's the right age to get it. But after all was said and done, he said to his mother, Mom, do you believe in God? And she, they weren't really religious people, though they decided to train him in Judaism. And she was at a loss. And she said, why do you ask? He said, Mom, why can we elect somebody like Donald Trump who spews hate on people? And the woman, of course, Debbie didn't tell me exactly how she answered him. But the key is the kid and my kids in Indiana, they're shaking in their boots. I mean, you know, there are in the schools now, they're having drills for the grammar school. Get under the desk. It's like when we had a Cold War with the Russians.
Right. And now
we need to sell this.
We're out of time. We can't sell anymore today.
But we will continue the topic. All right. Go Mets.
Jim?
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Yep, okay. We're out of time now, so.
That's impossible.
It is.
I demand a recount.
That's right.
This must be a fraudulent show.
Hold that thought.
It's rigged.
This is fixed. Right. Okay, kids.
All right.
Have a good one. Thank you very much.
See you. Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio.